Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Maggie Sue has a PhD in fiction from the University of Cincinnati and an MFA from Indiana University. She's put those degrees to excellent use in her debut novel, Blob, a love story. As former Beta guest Kevin Wilson has said, Blob is a book that looks at identity and desire in profoundly interesting ways. I couldn't say that any better than Kevin, so that's why I decided to use his blurb in this intro. The protagonist of Maggie's novel is Vi Lu. Vi is a young Taiwanese-American woman. One day, she discovers a sentient but still goopy blob outside a dive bar and attempts to mold it into her ideal partner. And I do mean mold in more ways than one. Here's Maggie reading the opening of her novel.
It's May, freshly turned and drizzling, when I find the blob outside a dive bar. A beige gelatin splotch the size of a dinner plate sits next to a trash can, tucked between glass shards and chewed gum. It reminds me of the slime I made as a kid with my brother. A concoction of Elmer's glue, baking soda, shaving cream, contact lens solution, food coloring, and water. Before Alex abandoned me for the neighborhood boys with their N64s and X-Men cards, we spent hours sticking it on each other and peeling it off. You're a monster, we would say. The blob looks like those times when we made the mixture too liquidy and the whole thing slipped from our hands and disintegrated on the kitchen floor. I bend down to get a closer look and make out a mouth and eyes. Its lips form a downturned crescent moon, an exaggerated frowny face. Two beady black eyes look up at me, no eyelids.
Maggie, what is the origin story behind your debut novel, Blob, a love story?
You know, it started 7 years ago. I was in a PhD workshop in Cincinnati, and I wrote a 10-page short story called Bob the Blob. I took a playwriting workshop over the summer, and it became a 10-minute play. And I just sensed that this idea was not done with me yet. So I took a year off and read for my PhD exam. So I didn't do any writing during that time. But I came back to it a year later, as soon as my exams were finished, and I just started writing the novel. Blob himself comes from my feeling that connections with other humans felt so foreign to me and so difficult to navigate. And so I was like, let's make this absurd conceit in which she finds, my main character finds a blob and tries to mold it into her perfect partner, because that's kind of how absurd it seemed to me that how people find each other.
Yeah, and it's absurd, and yet it's also very, very funny and very original. Was the 1958 horror sci-fi movie The Blob, starring Steve McQueen, an influence in any way?
It wasn't, but I had a lot of fun watching it after completing the first draft. And I got into horror movies around the time that I was writing Blob, so it was a nice mixture.
Yeah. The subtitle of your novel is A Love Story. How soon in writing the book did you realize that there was going to be this romantic theme to it?
I actually pushed back against the subtitle for quite a long time. It was my editor's idea, but I think it fits so much with the idea of self-love and Vi's journey. I think the readers are smart enough to figure that out and to recognize that this is not going to be their conventional romance.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it. It is a very unconventional romance. How did you go about creating the character of your protagonist, Vi?
Vi is this, you know, sardonic, snarky, Taiwanese-American woman, Midwesterner, that I had kind of always wanted to see growing up, that messy, biracial character who doesn't have it all figured out, who isn't the perfect Asian daughter, was always something I was looking for. And it's something that's kind of exploding in Asian American media right now, which is really exciting. And so much of her experience growing up in a college town, her feelings of otherness are grounded in my own lived experiences. So a lot of that came from me, but I think she has a voice and a character of her own. It kind of a heightened version of herself. I think of how Larry David describes his character on Curb Your Enthusiasm as kind of just a heightened all of the flaws of Larry David and put it out there.
Very well said. And I love that you got the Larry David line in there, because that's very accurate. Vi's father is Taiwanese and her mother is white. What impact does this have on their relationship with each other and with Vi?
Yeah, it has a huge impact, I think. She has so much love and respect for her parents. I wanted that to be kind of apparent in the book, because I feel like so many times we have these stories in the Asian American canon, which are wonderful stories, but it's kind of a singular story of estrangement, generational estrangement. So I wanted to think about, like, oh, these characters, especially the father who has almost completely assimilated to Midwestern white life, and the mother who kind of has this maybe color blindness when it comes to race. They both have such love and empathy for this daughter that they kind of don't understand. And she struggles, I think, to recognize that they exist beyond her. I think there's a little bit of selfishness, right, in the way that she thinks about other characters. So I really wanted to think about, like, what it means to be biracial, and also to kind of create parents that felt non-stereotyped and, like, full, but yet still have all these flaws and blind spots themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes them so easy to relate to. Vi's father, you describe him as the anti-Asian stereotype. How so?
I think what I was trying to describe is she's really kind of searching for someone to pay attention to her grades, to pay attention to her accomplishments. She's kind of has this loneliness growing up. She feels kind of different from her brother. She doesn't have a lot of friends. Her parents kind of give her a lot of these unusual pets to keep her company. And so she's always kind of maybe searching for more of that attentiveness, you know, in terms of what did you get on that test? What are you doing with your life? Her father is kind of just like doing his own thing, watching football, you know, not necessarily as invested in her life as she imagines like the stereotypical Asian parent would be.
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell us about the friendship between Vi and her friend Rachel, both of whom work at the front desk of the Hillside Inn and Suites?
Yeah, it's kind of a frenemy kind of situation. Yes. Where Vi sees Rachel, who graduated from college with a degree in acting, and she's this white woman who's attractive, who's kind of got it all going on. She thinks she's very cheerful. She's friendly with all the guests. She's good at the job. And I think Vi feels definitely jealousy and definitely just the way that Rachel's able to kind of operate in the world so easily is something that Vi can't imagine for herself. And I think that makes her very immune to her charms, Rachel's charms. And I think that makes Rachel want to befriend her, perhaps, because she's kind of a challenge for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. I think you're exactly right about that. What one of the most entertaining and surprising parts of your novel is when Bob the Blob begins to evolve into a human. How does Bob transfer from a blob into a handsome man? And how does that change his behavior?
I think, you know, as a blob, Vi has set him in front of the television. And so in so many ways, he's soaking up popular culture, sitcom, Seinfeld. He's watching Jeopardy. He's also kind of changing the channel and watching these like WWF, like martial arts, wrestling. I wanted to kind of suggest that he is already starting to mold himself before Vi decides very explicitly to put up pictures of her favorite, you know, white male movie stars and say, grow an arm, grow a hand, grow a head. I think she at that point is really looking for a connection, looking for someone to talk to. And I think the blob, as a blob, she found very comforting. And yet when she kind of molds him into this man, all bets are off. Things end up going off the rails. And I do wonder, I think part of her wishes maybe she hadn't made that choice. She had just kept Bob the Blob instead of molding him into a man. But I think it's really fundamental to the plot in that, you know, he becomes this kind of naive new character. He sees the world anew, afresh. And Vi, at that point, has become very cynical. And so his way of seeing the world kind of gets her out of her rut, even as he is kind of a product of all of the societal things that he's taking in.
Very much so, literally a product. Despite all Vi has done for him, Bob starts hanging out with some fraternity bros. What happens there? That kind of bothered me. I felt really bad for Vi. It kind of bothered me that he was trying to be big man on campus, big blob on campus, I guess we should say.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of her is just astounded. You know, here is this blob who has no social skills, has no frame of reference for anything, and yet he's able to join a game of Frisbee with some frat bros. I think part of her is just, wow, for him, for other people, for, you know, people who don't look like her, maybe people who aren't as strange as her, it seems like making friends, making connections is easier. And so I just wanted to play up that absurdity that really all you need to do to infiltrate a fraternity maybe is to have the look and have the athleticism to throw a Frisbee around.
Mm-hmm, definitely. What do you want readers to take away from Blob, a Love Story?
Yeah, this is a question I've kind of struggled with because I feel like I'm hopeful that everyone can read it and take away, you know, whatever they want. But I do think at the end of the day, it is a love story. It's a story about healing and growth and trying to figure out how to be a person in the world, whether you're Rachel, the popular white girl, whether you're a blob, whether you're Vi, and struggling with all these other sorts of issues. How can we kind of navigate those?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about what's next for you. The novel is so cinematic. I could easily see it being turned into a movie or a streaming series. Any chance of that happening?
We're in discussions with a few people, so it's really exciting. It's not anything I imagined in my wildest dreams, so it's cool. People will call from LA and they'll be like, "Are you in New York?" I'm like, "No, it's South Bend, Indiana." That's where I'm calling in from. So that's pretty special for like a Midwestern Asian American girl. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say if. I don't want to be negative about this, but I want to be when this becomes a major motion picture or streaming series. And if you were in charge, who would you cast as Bob?
That's a good question. I think maybe like a Timothy Chalamet or a Ryan Gosling. I don't know. I think we could go different ways with it.
Yeah, exactly. And Ryan Gosling, my fellow Canadian. So you could get some Canadian content in there. That would be nice. Maggie Sue, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on Blob, a Love Story. I have to quote from Kevin Wilson's blurb. Blob is a book that looks at identity and desire in profoundly interesting ways. Thank you for writing such a fascinating, funny, and provocative debut novel.
That was lovely. Thank you so much.
Maggie Sue's debut novel is Blob, a Love Story. Find out more about Maggie and Blob at wpr.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Susan Morrison, Leah Cardos, and Maggie Sue.
They have a lot of zany stuff on this program, don't you think?
Beta is available to follow on Spotify or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And you can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic.
It was created for WPR by yours truly and Adam Friedrich.
You're a monster, we would say.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
Its lips form a downturned crescent moon, an exaggerated frowny face.
Our executive producer is Brad Colbert.
I find the blob outside a dive bar.
And thanks to you, our alphas. More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
A beige gelatin splotch the size of a dinner plate.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob.